Blog Talk Radio.
We are Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I hear a voice here, a family voice here, the tremor of clowns, the feminine of this room, reaching my threshold, staring at the truth of the blind. My body's too big, stereo putrid, spilling out music, in the road to it, reaching my threshold, staring at the truth. What's going on, everybody? What's going on? This is your host, Daniel Crudup, in the back, Brooklyn Black. Coming fresh off the Love, Peace, Slander Season 1 party live taping. It was lots of fun. If you haven't been listening to that show, please give it a shot. We're going to have one of their guests are going to be on today. We're going to be talking about movies today. So we're going to have a dessert episode. So we're going to be talking about movies from this year all the way until next year. So we're just going to be going to that. Let's jump into the news. Way to reach us, as you know, the Black NPR pod at twitter.com. I got to be a little bit better with that. Also, Black NPR at outlook.com. So let's jump right into it. I promised myself we weren't going to be doing any Trump news. I promised myself I wasn't going to do that. And I did it. I'm going to keep up with it. I'm going to give a, we got a story. We're going to start off about Trump news. We're going to have to talk about Trump, obviously, because he's the president. But in China last week, it's been snowing yellow snow, so that's happening. We're doing great. Yellow snow's falling out the sky. The scientific reason behind it is a dust storm, but to me, I don't know what you believe in, God, not God. That was the last week's episode, was pretty good. Thanks, Simone and Christina, again. When it starts raining yellow snow, when yellow snow's coming from the sky, something's going on, bro. Like somebody... Yeah, exactly. God's pissing on China right now, and I don't know, man. Like, the fact that they're going to be the ones taking over because we're, like, slipping, and they're getting pissy snow. Ugh. I love to jump back into it. Last week, as a lot of you know, George Herbert Walker Bush died from being old. So a lot of people had different opinions of the dude in regards to... when he... one of my... favorite H.W. Bush stories is when he paid this kid. Like, he set a nigga up to buy crack across the street from the White House so they could bag the nigga on live TV. So they literally set this dude up and was like, hey, you know what? Come buy this crack, whatever. You know, you could, like, sell it, whatever the situation was. But, like, the CIA more or less set the nigga up. Like, they knew what the situation was. The nigga didn't know nothing about nothing. And they bagged this nigga on a rock beef right in front of the White House. I don't know whatever happened to it, because I don't have the heart to look into what happened to this dude later, because usually those stories have, like, really shitty endings, but that's what happened there. But he's dead. We all happy. We can hit that horn one more time. George Herbert Walker Bush is now burning in hell for extending a crack epidemic, probably being single-handedly responsible for putting money in the hands of the people who we're now at war with. It is funny, but the migrant crisis that we're having, a lot of that happened because we put the people who are in power that's making these niggas run away in the first place, point the finger directly to Herbert Walker Bush. He leaves behind one idiot son, one weak chin son, and I guess his wife had died recently. His dumpy wife died. In sports news, so this is going to be a sports episode, believe it or not, but I said I decided in the last moment to do this. Urban Meyer, the coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, retired pretty much because he had some old fuck shit going on. Urban Meyer, the second of two colleges to which he was run out on a rail for. Specifically, what happened here was he says that he had heart problems. He had been sick before, but that wasn't it at all. He had an issue with one of his assistants was wailing on his wife, and rather than, like, deal with it, nigga made it go away, and it came out because reporters, and then tried to, like, pretend like shit didn't happen, and you know, it's bad news, but Urban Meyer's always doing bullshit like that. College football's always doing bullshit like that. When the whole Penn State thing had happened, people were, like, shocked, but I'm not shocked. College football's a religion out there, and they really don't follow the same rules as you or I. So he's gone. Some top senators now believe that the Crown Prince, the Saudi Crown Prince, a few weeks ago we were talking about that guy,
Khashoggi, whose name I cannot pronounce. Sounds like a hoagie, but it's not. It's a dead man with a wife and kids that we're talking about here. So I'm going to show a little respect. Khashoggi went into a building. They beat the shit out the niggas, and then they saw a guy walking out with a bone saw. So his end was probably really fucked up. It would make a really good movie. But they're saying that he sent the guys, no smoking gun, but they know what they saw. They saw what they saw, and he's the one responsible for what he fucking did. So some of the senators, some Republican senators, some Democratic senators are probably saying, like, hey, we know what happened. But you know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? Nothing. Nothing's going to happen because we're so literally lubing up the Saudis, and we blow them pretty much consistently and all the time because they got bread. They got real bread, not this bullshit that we got over here. They got real bread, like tigers in the living room bread. And we get all the oil from over there, so they can do whatever the fuck they want. Nothing's going to happen. You go over there and get – you. That's why I was just saying, like, you want to go to Dubai. I'm not going to Dubai because one of these dudes just wanted to shoot me on general goddamn principle. Government ain't going to do shit to get me back. You know, I'm going to have to wait for Chantel to have to go out with her goons and her barbers to go lay bucks of lick shots at the Saudi crown prince, because that's the only way I'm getting justice. So that's that. What else we got this week? It's a pretty quiet week other than that crack peddler dying and piss. In terms of Trump news, it seems like the Mueller investigation is kind of closing in. Nothing really major there. More or less just saying that he's trying to let Michael Flynn bounce, because Michael Flynn pretty much snitched on Trump hard fucking core. And really dropped all the dimes. So that Michael Flynn, who was the first one who kind of flipped, he's trying to let go and be like, hey, this dude really helped us out. I don't know if he actually helped him out or he's just trying to get Trump on the back foot saying, like, hey, you know, this nigga told a lot of shit. Like, so much so we're going to let this nigga walk. So I don't know. I always say every week we do these stories. Every week I say it. Don't hold your breath. I don't see anything really substantial coming from this, because by the time it finally drops, the amount of fucking effort it's going to take to get this nigga out the paint is going to preclude how long he's in the office. It'll be like Bill Clinton. When Bill Clinton did the, what's that thing, when he was getting his dick sucked, when he was getting that whop, when he was getting that neck, when he was getting that head nod, when he was choking that fat chick. Just think about it. I mean, we'll take a minute. I'm going to take the drop for the, we need the drop for the ad. But just can you imagine? She's going to be just wailing this nigga off in the fucking White House. If you've been in the White House, it's packed with people, and this nigga's a fucking had her on her knees, had a chubby face full of flaccid old man meat. The balls of that nigga. Oh, anyway, so right now we're going to drop our ad. We got an ad, the lobby of a lot of people who support us. If you want to be one of those people, support us, please hit me on my email or my Twitter. Please, we always could use more. This is minority-owned, minority-driven. So the more you help us out, the more we can help you guys out. So here we go. Here's our ad for the week.
Saturday, December 15th, Ogenia Baby Promotions and Strong Island Hip Hop Radio presents Talk to Me Nice, a birthday celebration for Genia Baby, hosted by Dream Doll and Swaggy All the Time of 103.9 FM. It all goes down at New Vault Cafe, located at 481C Hempstead Turnpike in Elmont, New York. With music by Gwinnon's very own DJ Scooter, DJ Daffy, and DJ Quiet Storm of Strong Island Hip Hop Radio, plus DJ Linox NYC and DJ Cecilio. For tickets, search Talk to Me Nice on Eventbrite. For birthdays and bottle service, call Blend Master at 516-725-7486.
Make that shit right back. Fix your face a little fine. Why you mad? Why you mad? Talk to me nice. Talk to me nice. Talk to me nice. Talk to me nice. Talk to me nice.
Yo, shout out to those that help us keep the lights on over here at Pregame Radio. Check out ME Productions for all your digital media production needs. Like them on Facebook at ME Productions with a Z and email them at heyme.tv@gmail.com. Also, check out LitBK. Check them out at litbkny.com. Check out their Black Star Power Tees featuring some of your favorite entertainers and use the code PREGAMEISLIT at checkout for 20% off all your purchases. Also, check out iCraveWear. Check them out at iCraveWear.com. Pick up your Facts t-shirt representing your hood and pick up your Brooklyn Certified pins, t-shirts, and more. Use the code PREGAME at checkout for 15% off your order.
And we're back. We're going to jump into the song of the week. This is not a new song. The song has been out for a while now, but I think people need to know about this nigga. French producer, Evil Needle, one of the sickest fucking tracks I think I've ever heard in my entire life. Some of y'all know who he is. Some of y'all don't. But we'll get into that right now. And after that, it'll be movie talk of me and David Brass. Did I tell you that shit was sex, fam? Did I not tell you that shit was goddamn sex? And for your own edification, if you want to check that song out with Miguel rehash on it, you Google that. I'll put it in the chat and find it there. We're back, Black NPR, and I think on the line we have the irascible David Braff from Love, Peace, and Slander. Hello, David.
You're
What's going on? Yeah, just
hey,
before we jump into the movie, let's talk about Love, Peace, and Slander's season one finale last night. You can talk a little bit about it. So go ahead.
It was a vibe, man. It was a vibe. Streaming and you know, doing a live stream, that was a little tense, you know. But the show was fun. Everybody had a good time. It was, I think it was a suiting wrap up for a season that you know, we didn't know what we were exactly getting into when we started it, and it just grew and we grew with it and it turned into a thing. A lot of and getting a lot of responses and a lot of feedback from it too.
It was a lot of fun. And also, if you ever want to know why you should get married, because I don't know why I should ever get married, David had his wife nail that shit down, put the show on. Says if his wife wasn't there, shit would have been a lost fucking cause. So Remy got this.
Yeah.
He didn't even have to like ask. If you're dating someone, you got to ask. There was no asking. He just shot her a look. She knew what to do right away. Got you, my guy. We in this together. So if you ever want to know why marriage, not dating,
you
got to
get you. Listen, all wives ain't like mine, though. You know, all wives ain't like mine.
Get you a good wife.
Sit there and they'll eat their shrimp cocktail and watch you flop. You know?
No, they hit you with the, you want me to do what? You want me to do what now? He's like, no, my nigga, like, I'm drowning right here. Please pass me the stick. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. If you guys have not heard it, if you're familiar with me and I'm familiar with them, there's a lot of shows. They have a lot of guests. They have a lot of cool segments. And then work your way up, give you something to kind of keep yourself occupied. So when you guys come back, March, right?
Yeah, that's the time we're scheduled to come back.
All right, guys, it's good to see you.
Yeah.
The number to call in is 347-857-4302. We have Mike Francesa rules here. Meet him. Keep quick. Keep brief. Make sure you know what you're talking about. All right? This is movie talk. This is not like news and shit. This is important. All right, so let's get into what's your top five. What's your top movies for this year?
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know you was going to hit me with the top five joints. Okay,
let's be top five. Let's keep it a little more loose. So let's say, like, if 2018, what movies come to mind when you're thinking of 2018?
Okay, well, of course, you know, Black Panther.
That does not feel like it came out this year. That's so fucking crazy. That's how long this year has been going.
It doesn't.
This year has been going on for 15 years now.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything more to say about Black Panther.
You know what? I will say that Black Panther suffered a little bit from everybody's hopes and dreams being put on it. And I think it's getting viewed through a lens maybe that it doesn't deserve to be viewed through, if that makes any sense. Like, I think people are, like, not looking at, like, a normal Marvel movie. Like, we're looking – like, some people looking at, like, it was supposed to be Selma. I think it's unfair.
You know what? It's simultaneously fair and not – I say it's unfair on the level that if you're looking for something on a serious level to raise, like – XYZ and blah blah blah. Well, maybe not. That's not gonna be it. But on the level of a Marvel movie that addresses the issues and comes from the perspective it came from, phenomenal. And
so you put Black Panther above Infinity War? That's a bold statement, friend.
Infinity War is bigger and more entertaining, in quotes.
Yeah.
Black Panther runs a lot deeper. It's still entertaining.
All right, I give you that.
A lot
deeper. Like it's a narrative. It's a narrative of we were wrong. We need to rectify our wrong. The bad guy had a legitimate point here, and also
amazing.
The family dynamics. Yeah.
Amazing, like one of the best villains of all time. Like people
Man,
are putting Killmonger up there with the Joker.
If you want to, but that's a real dark worldview. If you feel that Thanos had a point. But I think Killmonger had a point. He got left there, and he kind of got left to the life that there's a wider conversation for, like, just a movie, and I think that's something else that could be had in terms of, like, his environment. He kind of got left to his own environment and then turned into what society turned him into, And then the people who have means are kind of like, well, it's not our problem. But it was like, it is our problem because we're the reason that he was left in that environment in the first place, which I thought was a pretty cool kind of twist of phrase. When he yelled at the dad and, like, the drug and place, and they go, I thought that was a pretty good scene.
Yeah.
What else?
But like you said, Infinity War has to get a nod.
Yeah, they had a lot of masks to serve in that movie. They had a lot of thread from a writing.
Oh my god!
From a writing standpoint, it's impossible, and they were able to
amazing
fucking do it.
As a juggling act. All these characters and all these threads as a juggling act alone.
Mm-hmm.
If you take away all the special effects and all that, just keeping all those narrative threads going. That was keeping the
narratives, but then also keeping the tone. What a movie where half of the population of the universe dies, that you don't come out feeling just devastated, is a fucking feat into itself. Since you felt like energized, like, oh, okay, all these people, you feel on some level they're coming back, but still you saw a teenager die and contend with death.
Yeah.
You know, even if he comes back, a teenager contended with death in front of you, and he did a real good job of that too.
And can we just give a shout out to Marvel?
Balls
to do that?
Because that was a crazy fucking scene. I thought that they were just going to poof into dust. We got to see these motherfuckers contend with the final moment and go, no.
Yeah!
I know. Like when I felt bad because fucking Tree, a talking tree, was going to leave his little raccoon buddy behind. And I felt a thing. Like, I was like, damn, B, no, why Black Panther just fucking got here and y'all fucked up his whole front yard and then dusted the nigga.
You want to feel even worse? You want to feel even worse? You know, he always says, I am Groot.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was dusting, when he was, like, dying off, and he said, I am Groot to Rocket Raccoon, you know what the filmmaker said the translation of that last I am Groot is?
I don't want to die.
Dad.
Oh,
really,
no!
Nigga?
Oh, no.
Yo.
Was that that's the director's?
Yeah.
You know the same niggas that did Ed, right? Not Ed. Chuck.
Oh, yeah. The
Russo
spy show and shit.
Yeah, the one with the dude with the chick from Mass Effect. Oh, that's fucking awful, B. I also say this movie also solidified Thor as my favorite Avenger, too.
Oh, Thor kicked all kinds of ass. He was the point man for this movie.
He was the point man. In Ragnarok, which I don't think gets enough credit for being a minority-directed movie, because it is. It 100% is a minority-directed movie. Yeah. Brown as shit. And I think he was able to give that dude, what's his name, Chris, he's such a charming, funny dude, and him playing it straight wasn't working, and just having him kind of be like kind
give
of
enough
like a,
room to,
a point,
yeah.
Be like, play it like a Point Break. Like, he almost has the Point Break energy. Like, it's like a surfer, kind of silly, kind of But then he could turn it real where he was like, oh, his mother. Because remember, he was talking to Rocket, and he was like, yeah, my parents, my brother, and all my people are dead, so. And it was like, that was a real fucking moment that I'm sitting here fucking empathizing with this big 6 foot tall white dude. That's a fucking feat into itself. I'm like, yeah, this dude's got a rough. Yeah, I can't wait for the new one. I can't wait for the new one, because we'll talk about that, I guess, in the 2019 segment. So what else would you...
Okay.
I can list some if you need some help remembering.
I cheated, and I pulled up the list of 2018 movies. I'm sifting through it and saying, what do I want to talk about and what do I not want to talk about? Movies that deserve to get mentioned, A Quiet Place. That was a great fucking movie.
Yeah, who fucking knew that Jim from The Office was a goddamn auteur?
Okay. That was a feat. That was a feat of filmmaking. Like,
yes,
there were a lot of...
Because not just filmmaking, you had to go to... I know a little, because that's kind of the world that I'm dipping my toe in now. You had to convince a studio to give you bread to then say, hey, we're going to do this shit completely fucking quiet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Then you had to take that and run it through I probably was cheap because it was like done in one house. The production probably didn't cost but so much. But he was like, hey, you know, Jim from The Office? Yeah, he's got this idea to the movie completely silent. And they let him do it, and he nailed it.
Beautifully. Beautifully.
Because I remember sitting in the theater going, this is wild. This is wild. Like, if someone was like a pop of firecracker in here, it'd be fucking World War III because it was silent.
Yeah.
Silent.
The fact that not only did, you know, a lot of people could have approached that concept and just, you know, just totally like, okay, so everybody's got to creep around and it's quiet and, you know, kind of not really take. But the silence was like another character in the movie.
It was.
The silence was a huge part of it. And the way that they worked with it, and not to if anybody hasn't seen it yet, I don't want to spoil.
Yeah, we got to be careful.
But,
be careful with this one. Yeah, I think people should see this.
I think, you know, there was one moment that everybody just like, took a deep breath because they set something up and they just let it, you know how Alfred Hitchcock talks about you leave the ticking time bomb? They left the ticking time bomb on the staircase.
But they let you, I love the body and I'm a fan of stuff like that. They give you the framework of how the world works. But this is how this works. This is what's available to it. And they didn't feel the need to have to explain every 5 minutes that this is what the framework was. Like, you make a noise, some bad's going to happen. So when the movie's going in, they never had to go back. It didn't need to be explained that making noise. Just you knew. That was a conceit. Noise, death. There was no way around it. That was the game we were playing. So when a noise happened and some shit went down, it was like, oh, shit.
Right.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I hope they don't make another one. I heard that they're in talks of doing another one. You can't redo that.
Here's the thing. Usually when they say they're doing another one of something like this, I'm immediately like, oh, they're going to wreck it. But apparently it's his concept, and I think he's going to be directing it again.
Well, he deserves the opportunity to try because I think he earned that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel like he should have the effort to at least give it one shot and see if he can nail it. Because if you would have told me that Jim from The Office was doing it the first one, I'd be like, hell no. So, you know, I'll give him the shot. I just don't feel strongly about it. I just hope it doesn't – like, you know what this reminds me of? A new version of the Blair Witch Project.
Ah.
Like how the Blair Witch Project was something you couldn't even thought was going to happen. It just makes no sense. And then it kind of hit. And then they kept on trying to do it over again, and it didn't work because it was like a trick. Because once you know the trick, you're like, okay, you can't get – it's a trick. Like, oh, shit, they kind of wander in, and it's noisy. So we'll see again.
Side note, I don't want to say wrong. I think it's Sandra Bullock. But there's a movie coming out, and I feel like they're trying to capitalize off this. It might be on Netflix.
Oh, yes. It's like a blind one, right? I saw
– Yeah.
I didn't hear what was being said. I saw everybody wearing fucking eye
blindfolds running around. I'm kind of like,
Sandra Bullock. Sandra Bullock to see her young king at home. So we want her to work. She's got a gun black king at home that she needs to see. So we want her to work.
Okay.
But,
fair enough.
And we got to make sure she got to work. She got to feed that nigga Lewis, man. Even though he ain't with us, we need to make sure he's good. I enjoy Sandra Bullock. I find her nervous white energy entertaining. I do.
Yeah, you know what? I like her on screen. Not so much some of her choices in movies lately, but you know, I like.
Yeah, I didn't like Ocean's 8.
You know?
And I like her in Ocean's 8 because that's not what I'm confident in charge. No, I go at the theater, and she does it very well. She did it in Moon. I'm not Moon in Gravity.
Oh, yeah.
In Gravity, literally, her character was struggling while George Clooney effortlessly died. I have a 2-year rule on that. He effortlessly died. Like, he died so smooth. He was like, I don't worry about it.
You got to die easy. You got to die.
Yeah.
George
Clooney don't do nothing hard, D. He don't do nothing hard. That's the coolest fucking nigga in the world right now. He lives in a fucking villa somewhere in Italy with his broad. He's good, fam. When he died in that movie, it was just like, all right, cool. I mean, good luck.
I'm looking. There were a lot of movies that came out this year that are actually good. And there
Ready Player One was the one I was going to talk about. So I read Ready Player One, the book. I read it. I felt it was a mash. It was very masturbatory. The book, it was like an old, like old man. Cool arcades, right? Cool Dungeons and Dragons, right? Yeah, and I was like, it's almost like if we like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if like all the like nerd culture to me is cool. It's fine. But, like, it moves. It's constantly evolving. So, like, even if I'm like, oh, I like Pac-Man, Cuber, but then you can also bring up Double Dragon and this other stuff. This dude was, like, firmly, this is what I know. And it was like, there's no way in God's green earth they're still talking about fucking Miss Pac-Man 40 years later. And it was something really off-putting seeing these young people talk. The book was fine. The movie, I felt, cut corners in a really weird way. And it took away from what the book was trying to say, which is, you know, the weird, obsessive. You saw it before I get any further. Did you see it?
Yes, I did. Yes,
the guy,
I did.
The one that was supposed to be seen as like the Gygax, the Paul Allen, the like the Wunderkind nerd. If you really think about it, he was a weird stalker.
Okay. Yes.
It was just a nigga who loved his best friend's fucking lady, and punished everybody for it.
Oh my
and then at the end of it, that's it. It was like, okay, he pulled this bitch and had her locked in a fucking cage with demons. Remember that scene when they were like in that haunted section?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is this? And it was told like, oh, it's cute. He can never let her go. Like, no, this nigga had problems.
So
he's a weird. Like, if he wasn't. I mean, how did you like it?
I was just saying, I'm pulling something up now because I wanted to get the title right. Because I watch a lot of YouTube videos. There's a video by on a channel called Just Write with a W, like writing, handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Just Write, and it's called The Unrealized Potential of Ready Player One. And it's such a concise breakdown of why the movie actually is a bad thing. It's very visually impressive. It's very, you know, get a lot of nostalgia value out of it, but the nostalgia is cheap nostalgia. And
yeah, it wasn't earned. It wasn't earned at all.
None of it earned. And that the underlying message
was Member Berry. Yes.
Member Berry.
It was Member Berry, the movie for old men.
Yep.
And he was a douche. That guy was a douche. He was an awful guy. Like, he had this thing, and he was like, oh, he's supposed to be cool. He was like, no, like, he's stalking this chick, and then he went out on one date, and this nigga had ownership over the broad and put her in a machine where she could suffer for all eternity. So this nigga, the only thing he needed was like, let me get this so I can be rich.
Right.
There was no like lesson for him to learn, or just be rich. And then he was rich, and then I guess it was fine.
And that was one of the major points about it that I really connect, because I saw it, and I'm like, you know what, I'm enjoying watching the things going on the screen, but I'm coming away feeling very empty about this whole experience.
Yeah, because
it was
like
entertaining,
the book does a little better job of explaining how it was like capitalism, very late term capitalism run through this thing. So everybody, first off, everyone's sucked into this machine living a virtual life. That's A.
Mm-hmm.
That's an awful fucking message right off jump. No one learns a lesson that this is not the way to be. No one goes, only difference is that he says, all right, you got to be off one day a week.
Yeah,
that don't
mean
nothing. A, B, he was miserable. He was an awful dude. His aunt dies. He pretty much never looks back. You know what I mean? His aunt gets blown to shit.
Yep.
She don't care. Nigga don't give one damn. There's never like a tear. Oh, my aunt. It's just like, all right. But he had his chick, and
there's a problem.
Probably Lena Waithe, though.
It's Steven Spielberg. Like, how does Steven Spielberg drop the ball like that on this? I think that
I think a lot of old heads, I think after a while, like, they lose the juice. And they're just like, oh, this is cool. I don't know. He had his name on. I expected to be way more fulfilled. And it just felt CGI nonsense and loud noises and even a sort of capitalism, late stage capitalism. The thing was that you get locked up if you can't pay your bills. That was like the general crux of it. All right, well, that's the system under the system. All that happened is he broke out, got rich, so he doesn't have to deal with other people still have to deal with.
You got to watch this Just Write video. When you get a chance, take a look at it. And, yeah, two of the major points that it makes is, number one, it celebrates geek culture, but it celebrates nostalgia, but it kind of doubles down on this kind of idea that, oh, there's a right way to be nostalgic and a wrong way to be nostalgic.
I don't think it's nostalgic. I think it's selling my memories back to me is what it felt like it was doing. It's like this, you want to watch Ryu in a situation where Ryu would never be? Cool, right?
Yeah.
You like that? What about this? It's pretty cool. Huh? You like Voltron? Here he is. Fuck off.
But the second idea was that all of this data, like, it's all about keeping this, you know, everybody who's successful in this movie just stockpiled a lot of information and took none of the lessons that came from all of these things they're nostalgic about or
there's
remembering.
There's a horror movie in that. You understand? Like, if you reframed it and recut it and you changed some of the cuts there, that's a horror movie. That is a dystopian future that they're living in that three of them were able to kind of get out of because of bread. Also, to reveal that the Ace was a black person, was a black lesbian, was a big reveal in a book. This one feels like a real throwaway.
But
props to Lena Waithe for getting work. Again, I'm just happy that we get work in places where we don't normally get work. Good for her. Mission Impossible Fallout.
Good, solid, entertaining.
I love those movies.
I do. Okay, I won't say I love those movies. I'm a fan. I like them very much. But
the formula works for me. The formula, I mean, for me, I'm being upfront by saying the formula, the do a thing. There's now shit where they're constantly working rogue. It's just really starting to get boring to me. We're just like, oh, no, we don't fuck with you like that. But, oh, we do fuck with you like that. And also, Angela Bassett getting work, so we're happy for her.
Right.
Starting to look a little right. It's fine. She can do that. It's fine. Superman
did a good job.
That's what I was about to say. What's this nigga made out of?
Yo. Is it me, or did it feel like he just stomped through that movie like a Mack truck?
Like, how big is this nigga? Like, when he was in that bathroom and he had that coat on, I was like, who are they playing with this fucking coat? The coat is literally, like, he should play the Hulk. He's, like, maybe 15 pounds away from being Hulk size.
The Hulk, right?
Big dude. And he was playing, like he was, because I don't want to, spoil it, because if you haven't seen it, you're not going to.
Mm-hmm.
He's, like, the dude. He's, like, the guy who wrote the papers. They're like, oh, we need to get away from technology, blah, 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 blah. I don't believe you, movie. This nigga's a goon. This nigga's a fucking ape.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like he's sitting around writing papers.
How would he hold a pen? How would he hold a pen? Like, you know what?
I will tell you this. The movie overall, I'm a sucker for a movie that gives me just one or two just, oh my gosh, hold your breath kind of moments.
They gave you a few, if I recall. I remember the one when they was on the helicopter and he was like falling down and niggas were scrapping. And that was the biggest leap that I had to
that
make.
That was cool.
Was the nuclear bomb where they like fake news them. Like they literally did the fake news of the fake bomb. I thought that was pretty cool. Because I was like, there's no way a bomb went off. But I was like, I don't know. Maybe that's just a new reality. The car chase
was lit. But that whole, you know the scene I'm talking about, the whole scene, the underground scene where all is revealed.
Oh,
underground.
Yes.
And that whole scene was like, oh, shit.
They were supposed to believe that Al Baldwin could shoot the fire with this fucking gorilla of a man. A minute. Oh, fuck out of here. And he was, like, hitting him, and he was, like, moving. I was like, you ain't moving. There's only one man alive that I think could even have a chance against fighting that nigga in a fist fight in The Rock. That's it. Anytime The Rock's on TV and The Rock's having a fight and he's, like, acting like he's losing, I'm like, bullshit. This nigga's, like, 7 inches taller than everybody on screen. He's, like, five niggas stacked on top of each other. Get the fuck out of here. I hope they make one more, but I think it's starting to get to the point where Tom Cruise is like a year away from being 60.
Yo, but you know, they're planning another one, and he's the one that marched in there with the concept. And they're like, okay.
He has a thing where everybody, I don't know if you noticed it, the conceit of this is that everybody fucks with this nigga heavy, B. Like,
yeah.
Everybody. Like, his ex-wife is like, yo, you know what? I get it. Do what you gotta do. Like, I see you with this new French bitch. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Just keep doing you. And his buddy, Big Reigns, and his poor face.
Oh, God.
That's one of the great black atrocities is what happened in a Big Reigns face. There's, what's that word? We have slavery.
What?
We have fucking Jim Crow, right? We have the Central Park Five. And now we have Big Reigns face.
But, yo, the niggas, he's making movie star dollars. He can't get no raise at?
It looks terrible. It looks like this nigga went down to, this nigga went to the Dominican Republic. This nigga went to, like, one of those hallways on 181st Street and got that shit done by Poppy, who's also the handyman, who's also the Uber Eats guy, who just, like, did his face up. It looks fucked up. Every time you saw it, I gasped. Every time I saw his face up close, like when they were disarming they were casually talking about the catching up while disarming a nuclear bomb. Remember that scene?
Mm-hmm.
They were catching up like they were at Starbucks. What are you getting into?
It's no secret the nigga got ingrown hair problems. He showed up on his big world debut was with a Band-Aid on the back of his neck. So
it's just fine. I'm okay with the back of the nigga's neck. I'm okay with the back of the nigga's neck looks the same as it ever did. Congrats on that. His face is melting. And it's melting off. It's weird. But I don't think we talk about it enough. I don't think that. Honestly, I could do a 2-hour show just on the state of Ving Rhames face. Because it breaks my heart. Because he's in there trying to be Joe Cool. I'm like, you're not, buddy. Like, you're not. Like, we need to address this. Like, if he would have been like, I was in a fire in narrative, I'd have been like, all right, cool. That works.
All right,
so I got
what I didn't see,
but I'm assuming you saw, Black Klansman. I did not see that.
Black Klansman was good. That was a good movie. That was a solid movie. Spike has been kind of
dead. I was about to say.
And this was a return to form. I enjoyed it very much. You want to know, interestingly enough, what I did not enjoy was Sorry to Bother You.
Okay, because I was supposed to see that, but Sean Tubbs, she told me that it wasn't good. Like, she didn't say as much, but she was like, it was a whole lot of flopping, a lot of nothing.
Oh, it was all over the place.
And it was from that dude, what's his name, Lakeith. Something about the movies that dude's in, it seems like they're trying to do a thing that I want. Only because I was going to see, because I love Tessa Thompson. I love everything about that weird bitch. I love her. I love the black bitch. She looks like she speaks in accents for no reason. You know what I'm saying? She looks like she just wakes up nude and starts painting. You know what I'm saying? Like, she looks like she'll fuck your whole life up and tell you, no, we don't eat that no more. We only eat grain. We only eat grain that's been processed through goat. And you be with it. You be like, all right, I guess. That's what we're doing. All right,
baby. All right, baby.
You don't hang out with your homies anymore. Like, where you been? It's like, oh, Tessa's got up on this.
I'm with my queen. I'm with my queen. I'm with my goddess.
I'm with my queen, Tessa. She says, yeah, no, it's
my goddess.
My goddess right now. You know, I pray to Yanni every day. So she was in it, and I was like, all right. That's what her and him in the movie together made me go, nah.
Now, you know what? I thought it was going to be like, you know, this super fucking woke type thing. And you know what? It was this super fucking woke type thing. But I'm
like,
wasn't it
like code switching, right? It was about code switching.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, it's about it, but it's not.
But code switching to a certain degree, it's like almost like, I've heard some discussions about it. It's almost like people don't know where they want to stand on it. Because it's like, you were raised to speak a certain way, and then you get called white, that's fucked up, right? So you were raised to speak, you know, proper, whatever, and as a Bajan, you know there's certain shit you could say in your house, there's certain shit you couldn't say outside your house, because you don't want people to think you were some Johnny off a boat. So you had to be able to speak a certain way. And that was drilled into your head that you don't speak the accent in mixed company. You just don't. So you grew up, speak a certain way, and then people clown you, call you white. But then you also, when you speak that way, now you're code switching. Didn't seem like the movie really knew which direction it wanted to go in.
It was clearly critical of the code switch element. It's just that it just spiraled out into all of these different sub tentacles. Mm-hmm. Yeah, trying to speak on a whole lot of things at once and ended up saying nothing, just being a whole lot of running around and madness. Like, how the fuck
did
we get
here? I know when they caught that dude. I know when they pressed him on it, he didn't handle the pressing well. Like, he was like, oh, you know, the artist, blah, blah, and y'all not really seeing what I'm trying to do, and pulled it like I'm the avant-garde artist and y'all just dumb people that you're not getting my fucking vision. And I was like, all right, buddy. All right, relax.
Yeah,
speaking
of
Tessa Thompson, let's keep the role of Tessa Thompson. I just saw Creed on Saturday. What did you think of Creed 2?
I did not get to see Creed 2, but I have been hearing excellent things about it.
Michael B. Jordan wasn't terrible in it. He was not terrible in it. Because I don't think because it didn't require acting. It required him working out and him making faces when he was like, all right, you're sad. Look sad. All right, you're upset. All right, look upset. And again, Tessa Thompson was playing. I didn't see Creed 1, believe it or not. So I did context clues. But it was like, all right, she's like hard of hearing but sounds perfect. I said, okay, I'll fly with you. That's what you want to do. And again, she looks gorgeous. I could look at her all day and all night. Was it good? I mean, it wasn't terrible. It wasn't terrible. It was what it was. I saw it in a black movie theater. I haven't seen a movie in a black movie theater in so long.
Which one did you go
to?
And
now I know why. Bay Plaza.
Okay.
And I forgot what it's like. I forgot. And I realized why I don't anymore. Because every time he got down, niggas were like, get up! Nigga, get up! and the nigga get up. And then when he, like, hit the dude, he said, yeah, take that, honky. So I was like, oh, yeah, that's why I don't do this no more, because you can barely hear what the fuck's going on. That and the 75 children running around. Like,
oh,
they're running laps. Okay. They're
having
running laps.
I can handle the yelling at the screen, but keep them fucking – if your kid don't know how to sit his ass in a chair and watch
why
a fucking film –
why is your kid at fucking Creed 2? I guess that's the big difference between Mick and there is that – no one's going to take a kid to see Creed 2. Not a bunch of people, anyway. You're going to take like seven. There's about eight different kids with the heaviest fucking feet. And the lady in front of me who had a full conversation with one about what he wanted to eat when he got home. On her phone, loudly. But it was good. I would suggest seeing it in the theater just because the hitting is visceral. The working out is visceral. I think the guy that got to play Drago was in the same fam. What they did was they humanized the villain in it in a way that I wasn't expecting. And I think, to me, that was the best part of it, that they were able to kind of show it from both sides, but in a different element. So when you see it, we can talk back on it later, but I thought it was really good.
Okay.
Did you see Incredibles 2?
Yes, I did.
I didn't like that.
You know what?
I didn't hate it, but I didn't like it. It felt like they made the same movie.
I don't know. And, you know, we're always on the back and forth about me, you know, like not being an ally to women and or whatever the hell else. But I just feel like, I don't know. I felt like it. Okay, so I guess it's unfair. I guess if I look at it, it's unfair to say. But because the first movie was 90% Mr. Incredible, and it was called The Incredibles. This one is 90%. Miss Incredible.
And it was Miss Incredible, but it was there was no legitimate reason why it had to be her. Like, what I mean? Like, I don't mind integration. I don't mind it being a lady. Like, the lady got through. I have no problem with that. But give me a legitimate reason why. Don't just do a change for a change. What would have been better if they were just a family figure, if they were just doing it together as a family? That would have been better to me. That's what I thought. That was the end. You know what it suffered from? Netflix Marvelitis. You know what that is?
Tell me.
That's when they tease at the end of the series that, all right, we're about to get into the action that you're used to, that you read in the book. All right, guys, see you next season. We're getting into it. He's got the suit. All right, he's going to start fighting real crime. Daredevil's here. And then the next season, niggas like, I don't want to be Daredevil anymore. And then you got to work your way back up into this nigga, get him back into the mood to do the thing that you thought he had already got to.
Okay.
And then it seems over, like, all right, we got it. We did it. Got the suit. He's made peace with his past. All right, next season, we wearing the suit and jumping through the sky and fighting supervillains. Next season, no, we'll do that no more. He gave up doing it. Electra died. We'll do it. And this did the same shit where it reset it back to the original. So the first one ended, they was like, the mole man was going, it was like, we got it. So you're thinking, all right, cool, they're going to be doing, like, fights again. No, the moment they do it, they're like, can't be superheroes no more. Can't do it.
Right, right.
Can't do it. It's done. Sorry, guys. But then you have to work your way back up to it again. It's annoying.
I am glad, but I'm glad you said the part about, you know.
But the lady,
Miss Incredible. See, I can't say that because I'm the enemy.
No, you don't have the cachet in these social justice warrior streets to say that out loud. I can't.
I'm an ally.
But it was done unnecessarily. It felt very forced because there was no reason it should have been her. It could have been him. It could have been either one. What would have worked if he could have been like, oh, anyone? It has to be one of you because we're trying to sell the idea of superheroes again. But you guys choose. And if she would have been like, I really want it to be me, and then him having to kind of go like, you know what, you're right. You deserve a shot of doing your own. Have it be a choice that they made together. That would have been fun.
Right.
Because then he could have still been upset about it. He could still been upset about it.
Or the two of them out there kicking ass as a duo, and the kids having to be home fucking around with the baby trying to get that straight. That would be great.
You want to tell the same story. I'm saying, unless you want to tell the story the same way, but you want it to work, you just make it a choice they make, so he still gets to be angry about it. Because that's what they wanted to say, that they want to tell the story of him not being able to live a normal life. So that story you want to tell, fine. But let it be his choice that he's doing for her, or her choice that she's choosing, but they chose it for them, meaning that we don't need him. Why? Why couldn't it have been him? What was the reason why it couldn't have been Mr. Incredible? Put it this way, if it was Mr. that's probably why, I guess. I don't know. Because a lot of those crimes that she couldn't solve without damage, he probably did easier because he was stronger. It was just some chick that stretches on a bike.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
I would have loved to see. I would love to see them working as a team
together.
Yeah, that
would
be great.
That's what we thought we were getting when the last one ended 20 years ago. So when 20 years ago it ended, we thought that's what we were getting. That's what we thought. Did you see?
And you know what? That is actually a very good parallel. Speaking of me, quote unquote, not being an ally, that's in that conversation. That's actually a very good parallel to my worldview of things. It's like you want to subvert the patriarchy, but you're trying to replace it with the matriarchy. Why aren't we trying to replace it with a partnership, like a team effort?
Change for a change. So when they go like, oh, we need a black James Bond, I'm like, do we really? I mean, yeah, if it makes sense, but we should have just put a nigga in there because we need to put a nigga in there, or a woman James Bond. Like, you're just doing a thing to do a thing, and it never works out. So like, Doctor Who, they got a lady. They said, we need a lady.
Speaking of niggas, Incredibles 1, favorite character was Dash. Incredibles 2, I think Frozone is my man.
Yeah, then Frozone needs his own movie. Him and his dangerously close to a stereotype wife. Dangerously close. Dangerously close.
You're being generous with dangerously close. We're
talking about
right there.
A pussy hair away from being like, all right, now, everybody had a laugh, but let's tone that down.
Let's ease now.
Yeah, they're like literally thin, wiry pussy hair away from a feeling. Because I remember she started going, I was just, damn, she don't got nothing else. That's all, huh? She's just yelling and beating this nigga down. Jesus Christ, almighty. Like, what the fuck? But I was like, you know what? Cool, I'll let it cook. She's only got like one or two scenes. Let the sister work. I'm assuming it's a sister. Let her get her money. Let's not fuck her up trying to be right. Did you see Death of Stalin?
No.
Oh,
how was that?
Please see that. That was it was a satire. It was really the best satire I've seen in years about when Stalin died. But they all speak with British accents, and it's about the end of Stalin and kind of like them planning his funeral and kind of the machinations in the Communist Party and kind of what's going on and how they're trying to do it. So it takes place all over like a weekend. I saw it on a plane. But it's done by the guy who did In the Thick of It. In England, which is a really good satire on British parliamentary in terms of like what's up and down. It's like, well, you know, we have the Republicans. The Republicans are up, then the Democrats are just down. There's no like sharing of power. So if you're the minor party, you're just a nuisance until you're back in power again. So they did a really good job of kind of satirizing that. I would say if you have a chance and you have some time, I would say that Death of Stalin was a good view because I think it was really funny how glib they were in the backdrop of what was some really fucked up shit. Like millions of people getting like marched out and killed, but it's done so silly and whimsically that you almost forget that this is that story. Also, 96 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, okay. Death of Stalin.
Yeah,
got on his to watch list.
Jeffrey Tambor, Steve Buscemi, a bunch of
others. Yeah. Yes. I will. I do remember
broad
that.
British people with Russian names.
Okay.
Let's get like one more for this year.
So
we can talk about next year.
Oh yeah, because I know you wanna talk about the upcoming movies. Can I just like shoot past, throw a few names out there, and just run through them?
Let me pull, can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right, yeah, let's pull into next year because there's a lot to fucking get through, and I want
to
make sure we
have
enough
have
time
to
cut out.
Can I just, I'm cutting out? Am I cutting out?
No, you're good.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to drop a few names, just bang, 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 and then we can move on. We didn't talk about movies that we didn't get to see, but we you know, as the time goes, but I just wanted to, like, Deadpool 2, cool flick, worth watching.
Oh, shit, that was this year, too, yeah.
Yep.
Deadpool 2 came and went like a shot, and I think
yep.
it did a really good job of keeping all the things that it had while introducing Cable, and I think for me, I think Deadpool 2 was the closest to what I expected a comic book movie to be. If that makes any sense at all. Because Juggernaut was in the movie and he was a known quantity. I'm like,
oh,
yes,
yeah.
These old people exist in the world. So the idea that a villain could be in the world, not have been introduced in the movie, and people already know him and know what he's capable of, I thought was fucking great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it was funny. It was funny.
And they retroactively fixed that terrible, I'm the Juggernaut bitch. Guy.
Oh, jeez.
X-Men 3.
That whole movie was a pile of shit.
It was
that
dog shit.
That whole third movie was a pile
shit.
Of shit. And it had it was a pile of shit. I don't know what they were trying to do, but it was a pile of garbage. Okay, so go
Ant-Man
ahead.
Ant-Man and the Wasp. Decent. Solo.
Ant-Man and the Wasp, I think, had the hardest, the most emotional thing, really, from the snap. Because when he went into the tunnel and then like, at the after credits and then he does a snap and everybody then you find out like it happened concurrently
Solo
also, the woman who plays
Ghost adventure movie
who the woman who played Ghost I think she's gorgeous they're really sexy
oh yeah
like, greater value Tessa Thompson everyone's hated on Solo I had no problem with it I was like.
It was
Fair
a good
enough.
Movie. It was a solid flick.
Yeah.
I enjoyed
it's
it.
It's solid. It's solid. Cause I don't like Star Wars anymore. I'm not a fan of Star Wars anymore. I find Star Wars to just be doing the same shit it always did because it's the same thing to do. And I thought Solo introduced some concepts that the regular movie is never going to touch. So, like,
and,
you know, the criminal side of it and, you know, all that other cool shit. So I thought it was pretty good.
And one movie that really, 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 it's a documentary, but still, Won't You Be My Neighbor was fucking amazing.
I couldn't watch that. I don't have the heart. I don't have the emotional fortitude to watch that. I will fucking die.
God.
Cry myself to death.
Oh my God. You know what? You come out of there weeping less than Mr.
Death.
Rogers.
I love that man. You understand? Remember there was a thread early on about this nigga's a pedophile and niggas had to call me at work
get the fuck out of here.
They running this nigga down. I was like, he was such a genuine fucking dude, a solid guy.
Yeah,
and he gave a shit. Like, he truly gave a shit. To the point where you're like, if we just had two or three more dudes like that, this world would be a better fucking place. That's me saying it. It's a better fucking place. Like, when you'd watch that show, you could tell this nigga gave a shit about you. He wanted you to be good. He took care of niggas. He took care of women. He took care of everybody.
And there's so much more to it than that, man.
Yeah.
When you, like, let me tell you. At the end of that movie, you come away, you weep less for Mr. Rogers. You weep for a world without Mr. Rogers in it.
Yes, Black said he cried too. I know I would. The trailer. I cried at the concept of the man Mr. Rogers makes me cry because I'm like, this, it's so simple. What this nigga did was so simple. Why can't people fucking get it? So simple. He literally said, hey, this is what, how you do it. Well, if you ever need Jesus, guys, we don't need Jesus. Do what this nigga did. You'd be fine.
You'd be fine.
And it's not like he was like, oh, follow me. Just do what the fuck I did. Be kind to people. Be solid. Have an imagination. Find joy in every fucking day. And you'll be fine. Treat everybody wonderfully. And good things will happen. Don't even need you. I think it was a priest, a pastor, or something like that?
It was something like a pastor or something like that.
But never, not one part did you feel any aspect of Jesus in any part of his show. Even those ugly fucking puppets, those horrifying puppets that looked like they were never washed, didn't care. King Friday should have horrified me. Ooh, this Wolverine. Perfect. All right, I'm going to watch it eventually. I need to get myself a queen.
Lay
in my queen's arms is what I'm going to need to do. I need to get my queen. I'm going to sit down. And I'm going to embrace her and let her comfort me as I cry myself into early dementia because I can't imagine that I'd be fine after watching that movie.
Oh, man. Okay, so what we got? What we got next?
You can be my neighbor.
Won't you be my neighbor? Okay, and a few movies that I missed that of varying levels of quality because, like, I missed, Rampage, the giant albino monkey movie.
I
wanted
right
to see that for fun. I missed Jurassic World. I didn't get to see that. Bohemian Rhapsody, still in theaters, didn't get to see that.
I heard there's a lot of lies in it.
Oh, and Bohemian Rhapsody. Oh, yeah. I heard people saying, that it's not a faithful...
Yeah, it's like a lot of lies. Yeah, that's why I was like, all right. I might go because the music's really good, so I might just take a punt and see it for the music.
Speaking of good music, A Star is Born. I want to see that. Still,
I've heard
that.
Nothing but good things about that.
Everybody loves it.
Really showed up.
And that horror movie, Hereditary, I heard
not
that
none.
Was creepy and scary as shit. Nah, you know what? I want to see horror movies like, and I know it sounds really highfalutin and shit. I want to see shit like Hereditary and like Suspiria and like.
Oh, I heard
like,
Suspiria was a mind fuck. That's what the original Suspiria and it fucked my head up. And I was I'm not going to see a new one, but I heard a new one's really, really good.
Yeah, I want to see shit like that. Like The Nun,
Party,
and Conjuring. It's like, I know the formula. It's kind of cookie cutter.
Gotcha.
You know?
You wanted to come from a different angle. And I'm going to add one more to the list before we get into next year. The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, I thought was really good.
Holy shit, that was a good movie.
I thought
Holy
it was
shit,
good.
That
it came
good.
Out of nowhere, to be honest with you, because I'm watching Ballad of Buster Scruggs. I'm thinking, okay, cool, all right, let's get into this thing. And then when the dude gets shot and he's, like, singing into heaven, I'm like, whoop. And then it's like, it's so nihilistic in its worldview, but it's done so well, and it's so gorgeous, especially with the 4K TV. It looks fucking dynamite, and the pacing of it is so well, and you never really know what's going to happen. You know what it's like? It's like Wild West Black Mirror.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Coen brothers, you know how they do. You know, they're nothing if not – they embrace nihilism with abandon.
But
with
that
abandon.
Nihilism certainly has like a little wink. They didn't have a wink. When Liam Neeson, but that dude and the Pillow Man dude, figured out put one and two together that he was about to be replaced by a chicken. Oh, damn. And they sat on that nigga's face for a while, too. Like, he just sat on his face. And that, in terms of silence, there was barely any real dialogue, which is him doing his speech. And you could visit a parallel to now where we threw away a literal intellectual man, intellectual speaker who was like talking about something and bringing culture for a chicken.
Yep.
So let's get in the next year. We're going to do quick hit style because there's a lot. So we're going to do yes and nay unless there's more that needs to be said. So Captain Marvel.
Before anything else, I just want to shout out, I'd be wrong if I didn't shout out my boy Ken because he's the one that told me to check out Buster Scruggs. So shout out to Ken if you're listening.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, because that's one that you wouldn't even think about, and then you see it, you're like, whoa, I'm mad I almost missed that.
Right. So shout out to him.
So this next year we got Captain Marvel. Yes, no, maybe so.
I don't know if you saw my status, but
you said
today,
you're not excited.
I want, listen, back to the whole feminism thing, I want Captain Marvel to win. I want, like, Wonder Woman, I was hyped for Wonder Woman. I want women to take their spot, but you got to nail the
but
shot.
But it was going to be her. It was going to be, I don't think she's, her body type, she's so skinny. You know what I mean? It's like Carol Danvers was substantial. She was thick. She was a thickum. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know.
And
I know what story they're trying to tell. They're trying to tell the story of belonging. It looks like because she was a human, and then she, but for some reason now she's a Kree. So trying to figure out who the fuck she is. Black said they should have casted Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah, Jennifer Lawrence would have worked, but I don't think she's doing another superhero movie.
Jennifer Lawrence would have been lit. You know who else would have been lit? Because my same friend Ken, on that same thread, he was saying he expected like more of a whiskey drinking, raspy voice, a little toughness on her. Because every time she spoke, she's got a lightweight voice.
Yes. Remember,
so she
came out on stage in Scott Pilgrim? That she was something at the demon's head. And she came out and said, hello, Scott.
Like, come on.
I mean, I'm going to see it because I'm going to see all of them, but like, I'm more or less seeing it to see how they handle Skrulls and Kree. I'm going to see if they can, because that's a real heady thing to handle because there's so much history there. So, also, this is this opening salvo of the Fantastic Four showing up. If they can do this, then Fantastic Four
they can do easily. But what is Katie Sackhoff?
Katie Sackhoff practically was fucking, I mean, then they turned her into a fucking angel. Oof. Oh, my God. When I do the Black NPR show about the last episode of fucking Battlestar Galactica, it's going to be a 3-hour marathon show. Just the last 15 minutes of Battlestar Galactica. I do 3 hours on my head. Fuck the news. Fuck a drop. Fuck a guest. She's a fucking angel. It was fucking cavemen.
Yo.
Fucking cavemen.
Stop bringing up bullshit.
A little jaunty line to make it okay. Oh, looks like we're biologically compatible with the natives there. Like, fucking cavemen.
Stop bringing up.
Being in the paper and say, looks like it's happening all over again. Fuck you, show.
Stop bringing up bullshit.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm triggered. And she would have been perfect. I think Katie Sackhoff would have been perfect.
Yeah,
but
she would have been amazing. I don't know if I'm going to buy
put her
it
in
with Brie Larson's lightweight.
No, but she's so real thin. She's like real thin and wispy. So people think that she's like this badass is not going to fucking work. I like that they got Jude Law playing the Mar-Vell.
Yeah. And
I like that.
No spoilers, but I heard he might not be Mar-Vell exactly. It might be a little bait and switch thing happening.
Oh, we'll see. Next movie on the docket, obviously the new Avenger movie. We don't really need to go into that. We know that's going to be the
lit. Right.
Unless they shit the bed at the end, which will be almost as interesting if they nail it. If they shit the bed here, it'd be so interesting to me. But how did you get this far to fuck up now?
Yeah,
but
I think they know they can't.
Yeah,
they
have to bring it home.
That would
bankrupt shit. Everyone's gonna go see it, but if they fuck it up, which could be possible. There's a lot to fucking take care of in like a 1-2 hour movie. Next one, Lion King. I don't feel one way or the other about it. To be quite honest with you, everyone's like losing their shit. I'm like, all right, cool.
It might be a $2 billion movie.
Might be. I mean, if they get the songs right. And the animation doesn't veer too far into the Uncanny Valley, sure. People don't really like Uncanny Valley's a bitch. I want to see weird, almost real lions. Next one's a weird one, Toy Story 4. I'm not okay with this because Toy Story 3, I thought, was one of the best endings of any movie I've ever seen. And
right.
I was crying like a real bitch. Like, I was
a lot of
blubbering.
People
first off, they was fucking looking into the maw of death, and he held hands and says, like, they thought they were going to die. There's about 3 minutes where death was on the table when they were going down that incinerator, and they held the hand, and triumphantly looked at death and dealt with it with pride. I was like, holy shit, okay. Then at the end when Andy's like teaching that little girl how to play with toys, I'm like, this is it. I was blubbering.
Yep.
He just wanted to play with toys.
Me too.
He knows you're alive.
There's no shame in it. Although I'm noticing a theme with you, anything where people are staring death in the face, you love it. This is a recurring theme.
Fuck, I love it. That's all this is, man. That's all life is staring death in the face. Or you could ignore it and pretend it's not going to work and have hope and joy, or you can look it in the face and fucking live. Toys did. This one apparently, if I go too deep into it, is about them putting googly eyes on a fork, like, you know, when you do arts and crafts.
I saw that.
And him having a real crisis.
He's having
a real
existential
crisis. Yeah.
Am I a toy?
The concept of that, I don't know how they're going to do it, but the concept of him being yoked into life and not being comfortable with it is hilarious to me. It also opens a lot of fucking problems. Because if you put some googly eyes on a dildo, then that means a dildo could come back to life.
Oh, my God.
Apparently, that's the rules that set in. So we have Dark Phoenix.
I need to see
another
trailer.
Good. She's terrible. She's a terrible actress. I don't like the Dark Phoenix song. You can't do the Dark Phoenix. It's impossible to do it as a movie because you have so much. You could do like, oh, it's her power, but it's not her power. It was the Emkron crystal, you dicks. But I don't know. I don't trust X-Men to make a good movie. I'm going to see it, but I don't trust them to make a good movie. I assume they're going to fuck shit all over themselves and then give Marvel, they could retcon the whole goddamn thing. Then Shazam.
Shazam looks good.
Yeah.
I'm on board with comedy. I'm on board. Yeah. I'm on board with it. And you know what? DC is if the their universe is in the toilet, but it looks like they're coming back because I'm hearing good things about Aquaman.
That Aquaman looks like it's pretty good.
And
we got Black Manta in it, my nigga. We got. Right? I say to Shark all the time. I think we don't get shown as villains enough, and what I mean by that, we're never well thought out, articulated villains, but always thugs or instincts. Like, you know, we're like instincts. Oh, we need to rob or kill. But having something like a legitimate plan and a legitimate gripe and a legitimate what have you, I don't think we get. So it's really interesting to be a Glass as well coming out next year and this, where we're villains, but we're villains in a space where we have actual wants, hopes, dreams, and concerns, and we're not just one dimensional threats.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? Like, we're not just angry and violent. Aladdin remake?
You know what? I'd like to see a trailer that's more substantial before I make a decision, but I trust Disney not to screw the pooch on one of their most prized freaking properties.
Will Smith, man. Will Smith is going to be cooning on such a high level, bro. Like, he's going to set us back so far.
He's going to rehash the Fresh Prince. It's going to be the Fresh Prince and Blueface.
Yeah. Bad Boys 3. Bad Boys 3 is coming out.
On the fence about, well, you know what? The proof will be in the
pudding. I don't know how you make that movie now. Because Bad Boys 2, watch Bad Boys 1 and 2 again. And realize how far movie making has come. In terms of pacing, in terms of character development, in terms of everything. It feels like watching a dinosaur. It feels 40 years old because it's following a formula that you cannot do anymore where, you know, women are getting slutted out and killed. And I don't know. Just try it again. And that's going to be another show where we can just cut into Bad Boys 1 and 2. But I tried it recently, and it was not working for me. Then we have Godzilla, the King of the Monsters.
I don't know. We had a Godzilla, and it didn't impress.
No,
so I don't
really
know. I can't
movie.
Hang too much on this one. However, you know what? There is one train of logic is that they're going to up the
Godzilla.
Ante on this one.
Yeah,
they got to up
have
the ante on this
fight.
One.
Have a fight Mothra. Have a fight fucking, what's his name? The Mothra's other nigga's name, the one with the Jojaba. Have that nigga fight them.
Well, you know
Spider-Man movie coming out.
You know who Godzilla's fighting next?
King Kong, right?
Yeah,
I'm fine with that. That's all I want to fucking see. Then we have where are we at 12 minutes? So yeah, so let's do quick hits. Spider-Man, a new one. Yes, no.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, Joker, the movie.
Interested, very, very intrigued. I can't wait to see the first trailer.
It, Chapter 2.
Yeah, you know, Chapter 1 was good enough. We'll see if they can keep the ball in the air for Chapter 2. It's promising. I'm here for it.
Yeah, Black doesn't like Joaquin Phoenix. I don't know. I'm going to give him a shot.
If doesn't like Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker? He's already insane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That hair lips gonna fucking push it over.
Oh well.
New Mutants. Which is a horror movie.
You know
movie.
What? Very interested in that horror movie angle. Yeah. And I'm a New Mutants
I'll
fan.
Give it a shot.
So. Yeah.
Hellboy.
Hellboy, yeah.
I don't know what
has
a what the guy this from fucking Stranger Things is gonna be doing it.
Yeah, I mean the image that they released of it looks good. Again, got to see a trailer to make any kind of assessment. But
I know, as you guys know, I have the DDG room. John Wick 3 is coming out. So there's going to be two definitive movie dates where we're going to try to pack a theater out. Probably when I get off here, I got to do this. No, it's not Ron Perlman. It's a guy from Stranger Things. John Wick 3, Parabellum. Yes.
I'm here for it.
God, am I here for it. Hope they don't screw it up by changing the fucking formula. I just want to hear that song play while he mercilessly kills people, and people go like, you're back? You're going back. That's all I want to see. Him murder people. My daughter called that middle-aged man porn. I was like, yep, that's exactly what it is. Exactly what it is. Untitled Terminator sequel?
You know what? No.
That last one was so bad.
No, they've been trying for so long to get that formula right again, and I think the only one who could get it right again is if they gave it back to James Cameron.
And they have to make it rated R.
Yeah.
Men in Black?
I don't know. Proof will be in the pudding, but just saying the words Men in Black doesn't get me hyped.
Tessa Thompson and Thor. I'm more excited by Thor being it because I find him to be super charming. They have Hobbs and Shaw, the movie they do to screw Vin Diesel, cut Vin Diesel out.
Yeah, I'm touch and go on Fast and Furious 2.
Zombieland 2.
Not hyped for it. Did you say Zombieland 2?
Yep.
Okay, that is Michael Cera still in it?
Eisenberg.
I get them mixed up.
All right, so I'm just going to read the ones that are the weirdest now. We have Sonic the Hedgehog.
No.
Charlie's Angels.
50-50.
Angry Birds the movie, too.
Fuck no. You know what, though? That's the emphatic. Fuck no.
Fuck this. Fuck out of here, movie.
However, Detective Pikachu. Can we talk about Detective Pikachu?
You see where that came out of nowhere and was like, I'm here for this.
Why am I here for Detective Pikachu?
Because as soon as I saw the dude, I was like, all right. And I was like, oh, Pikachu. Then I was like, oh, what? Live action, huh? Then it was like, oh, yeah, it's a live action Pikachu movie where niggas get killed. I was like, what the fuck is this? So they just made a live-action movie. I said, all right, I'm here for it. All right, Ryan Reynolds.
I showed this to my wife. She's like, oh, my God, Bulbasaur. Oh, my God, Charizard.
Like, the mind. Actually doing fucking mind work.
Yeah.
Are you doing glass?
Definitely glass.
And we're going to close out with Star Wars Episode 9.
Okay. I'm here for it. Superhero for it. The Last Jedi was not a failure.
It was a failure. It was a huge failure. Hey,
absolutely,
you know the guy
not.
You've been waiting to see since they said it's coming back. He's back, and guess what? He's turned into actual Mark Hamill now. Is it Mark Hamill?
Get out of here! See, you know
he
what?
Was acting like Mark Hamill.
If you say
cranky curmudgeon,
if you say the drinking blue cow milk and the cheap humor was fucked up, I'm with it.
He took that lightsaber and just chucked it over his head. Why was he upset? Like, there's a lot of questions that can give us. All
right, I'll tell you right now. If the whole Cantobite, the casino scene and all that,
that was a wasted opportunity.
I feel that. But all this gripe about Luke Skywalker is dog shit. What are you talking about? Every other major Jedi character, what happens to them? Obi-Wan Kenobi ended up an old man hermit. Yoda ended up an old man hermit. Luke Skywalker falls into the same pattern as all the Jedis before him.
Man hermit because of a fucking law that made it illegal to be a Jedi fucking knight.
But they all end up there.
We only know about two. They were the last two who were running away from Order 34, whatever order it was. They ran away. There was no such order. He didn't need to be gone. He chose to be gone because he felt like he ordered 66. Yeah, he fucked up with his grandson or his nephew.
Nephew
fucked up. Which you have to explain in detail in this movie, which I don't think they will. Because this movie seems to be very against explaining shit. Like, they don't want to explain shit at all. They want to just be like, don't worry about it.
I'm good with it.
He was doing so good. That movie was so bad.
One of my closest friends is absolutely incensed. He to a point of rage at the Princess Leia. See?
Bullshit. But she fucking Mary Poppins her way back into the goddamn ship. Fuck out of here. They try to do Mary Poppins her way into the goddamn ship. A, B. It was one long chase. It was just one chase. And then, like, we lost Mark Tarkin for the Domhnall Gleeson, who was acting like a fucking buffoon. Also, who's Lord Snoke? Nobody knows. Guess what? We'll never know. The nigga's dead. We never know.
So wait. How about Awesome Things? Awesome Things.
Oh, Jesus, Awesome Things. What Awesome Things? The fact that him, that black guy, and that chubby man, that chubby Asian lady just had a relationship that came out of fucking nowhere.
No,
the fact that
Lightspeed kamikaze through an Imperial ship was fucking amazing.
That looked gorgeous. The sound come out. That was fine. I thought that was dope. The chick with the purple hair who refused to tell anybody the plan for whatever reason that is, I don't know. It's like, all right, lady, sure. It looked great, though. I'll bet it. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, just because I'm curious to see how it's going. I like being angry for some reason, so I'm probably going to go. Again, so the queen, I'm going to need a queen there to hold my head at the end. Like in, what's that word? Menace of Society. Remember when he comes in after when Thing gets shot? That's gonna be me right after that movie. Be inside swinging at the air, and I'm gonna put my head on her lap, and she's gonna have to console her black king. That's what's gonna have to happen.
Make it a double feature: Star Wars and Mr. Rogers. Make it a double feature. Destroy yourself completely.
I'm gonna be crying, but I'm gonna be in a great mood. Star Wars is gonna make me mad. I'm gonna be so mad because I know there's gonna be three more of these. And I know they're going to make billions of dollars. Would not be shocked if they just did Return of the Jedi. They just redid that.
Can I shout out another YouTube channel before we wrap up?
Yes, we're about to wrap.
So I shouted out just right before. You should check out the Ready Player One video on there. But just as a channel as a whole, the John Campia Show on YouTube is like one of my favorite destinations for movies. He described it the other day, and I was like, holy shit, this is exactly what it is. It's like Sports Center for movies. That's exactly what it is.
That's a perfect, that's a good definition. I like that. All right, so shout out your shout outs, fam. Get your shout outs in. What's your plugs? Plug time.
Lit BKNY, of course. Shout out to Remy, my beautiful wife. Shout out to Love, Peace, and Slander. Shout out, of course, Pregame Radio Network. Shout out to you, and fucking Black NPR, which I love, fucking love. Crave, you know, all the people that we usually touch base with, Crave. Shout out to, upcoming Old Domino Effect, which is in production right now. I've got a hand in that.
I want to do another kind of movie show where people could come on. So I have another person that's in DDG that's got a movie coming out. I think they're in the process of
doing post production.
That's what's up. And shout out to me, 11203 Productions and all that good shit, because I'm gonna start trying to promote my production skills a little bit more.
Niggas, man, we need to make these niggas work and put money in King's mouths, B. But he's out here trying to videotape, and he won't steal your proofs. Like, he'll videotape you, like, go there and do a good job, wedding, whatever you need, and you'll get what you paid for.
No.
He's not going to take it and run away with it.
No weddings. I don't like doing weddings.
All right, man. It's been a pleasure, David. I'll see you in the street. Weddings. He don't like love. He don't think he's the only nigga that's got the fucking market cornered on love. So that's
right.
David Ayer. It's been a pleasure.
Right.
I'll talk to you later. I'll see you guys
next week.
Yes,
sir. It's been fun.
Have a good one.
Peace.
Yo, shout out to those that help us keep the lights on over here at Pregame Radio. Check out ME Productions for all your digital media production needs. Like them on Facebook at ME Productions with a Z and email them at heyme.tv@gmail.com. Also, check out LitBK. Check them out at litbkny.com. Check out their Black Star Power Tees featuring some of your favorite entertainers and use the code PREGAMEISLIT at checkout for 20% off all your purchases. Also, check out iCraveWear. Check them out at iCraveWear.com. Pick up your fax t-shirt representing your hood and pick up your Brooklyn Certified pins, t-shirts, and more. Use the code PREGAME at checkout for 15% off your order.
We are Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.